Amen. Well, how am I supposed to follow that act up? What a wonderful opportunity we have to set the table for worship. And I tell you, choir, you did a wonderful job. I think they deserve one more round of applause. I cannot begin to tell you how blessed we are, Miss Sandra, for your leadership and leading the choir, and thankful for all of you who put time and practice in to make it a beautiful worship setting. We thank you for leading us this morning. They're going to lead us again at the end of the service. We'll close. And so I'm excited to hear more from them and for you to join with us in that worship time as well. For now, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're continuing our series entitled A Cinematic Christmas, where we're looking at the themes of Advent as they bleed into our secular culture and movies, particularly Christmas movies. You know, our first 3 weeks, it's been really easy to get good pictures of these Advent themes. When we looked at hope, we can see true and genuine hope through the eyes of a child longing for that Christmas gift. And sure enough, we saw it as Ralphie was longing, hopefully, for his Red Ryder BB gun. But then we can also see through secular movies and through what culture gives us a good picture of peace. We can understand that when things are troubled, that we need that calmness and that stillness, that reminder that God is with us, that He does not leave us. And we saw the picture of peace that was experienced by George Bailey as he realize what life would be like apart from him existing. We understood the peace he had in the tumultuous circumstances. And even last week, we understand joy. All of us have been where Buddy the Elf is, excited about Christmas coming, jumping up and down, screaming at the anticipation of Santa and all that Christmas brings. But we get to this morning's discovery. It's hard to find a good secular picture of what true love is. We've got a lot of great movies about love, a lot of great songs about love, a lot of great writings about love, but it's hard to get a good grasp of what God's love really is. It doesn't always come through in movies or in songs or in writing. It occasionally gives us a glimpse, but we very rarely see perfect love. As a matter of fact, some of the best love stories in all of history are tragic. They involve pain and they involve sorrow. You think of Romeo and Juliet, perhaps the greatest love story ever told. And I don't want to be a spoiler here, but if you've not read Romeo and Juliet, it doesn't end so well for the star-crossed lovers. We read things like, or watch things like The Notebook, right? Maybe the banner love movie of our lifetime. And it's a wonderful story that has a happy ending. But think of all of the troubles in between point A and point B. The yelling and the screaming and the fighting and the pain and the hurt. We see people hurting other people. We look at it through all sorts of cultural mediums and we have a hard time discovering love. This morning, I want to give you an example of the closest thing we have to biblical love that God the Father has for us. And I believe it is depicted beautifully through our Advent readings. I'm thankful for Aaron White for writing those, especially this morning as we hear about the love a mother has for her child. That may be the closest glimpse we get at seeing the love of God the Father to us. This morning, as we think about that love of a parent and a child, we're reminded that even that falls short. Because our love is full of imperfections, our love is full of faults, and there are always times that we can find ourselves loving less than we ought to. Maybe as a parent, you can remember a time you failed your child. This is not a message to depress you. I don't want you to sit back and think about all the times you've forgotten something about your child or missed something or took advantage of a situation. I don't want to concentrate on that, but I do want it to be a reminder that we as human beings are incapable of perfect love. This morning, our cinematic video takes a look at characters in the movie Home Alone as a mother is desperately trying to get home to her son.
Tell me, have you ever gone on vacation and left your child home? No. No. But I did leave one at a funeral parlor once. Yeah, it was terrible, too. You know, I was all distraught and everything, you know, the wife and I. We left the little tyke there in the funeral parlor all day. All day. You know, we went back at night when we came to our senses, and there he was. Apparently, he was there alone all day with a corpse. Now, he was okay, you know, after 6-7 weeks. And I came around, started talking again. But he's okay. You know, they get over it. Kids are resilient like that.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this.
Well, you brought it up. I was just, trying to cheer you up.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Have you ever left your kids somewhere before? Anybody want to admit I've left more hands than I really expected? Hold on, this is great for a sermon illustration. I just saw Cole point straight at his mom, and I don't know what he said, but boy, he let her. Listen, parents are imperfect people. We fall short of this perfect love, and so we see maybe a glimpse of what it's like to love a child and experience perfect love, but even in that, we admit we don't have a perfect love. This morning, I want to read the story of a mother, specifically read a couple of verses that capture the heart of a mother with her son, and see the heart that Mary has for Jesus. Let's start off by reading in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 19. Luke 2, verse 19 tells us this: Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. You know, there's another phrase along these lines that appears again later on in Luke chapter 2. And in verse 51, we see Mary again contemplating the love she has for her son. It says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient," just talking about the child Jesus. But listen again, Mary, his mother kept all these things in her heart. This morning, as we look at the character of Mary in Scripture, we start to get a glimpse of this amazing love she has for Jesus. Maybe a love different, I'm sure different and unique, that you and I cannot fathom and cannot understand. But it gives us a picture of the heart that Mary has for her child and a heart that God has for His people. If you have your bulletin, we're going to follow along this morning. I hope you will. Talking about discovering love. And there are three blanks in your bulletin. I hope you'll follow along and fill out with us. And we're going to look at the love Mary had for Christ and the love that God has for us. Your first blank this morning is this: love overcomes. Love overcomes. Think about the circumstances Mary was put in. This was an extremely difficult situation for her. It would be difficult in any time, at any period, but it's especially difficult in this first century. Because Mary was not married, she had no husband, and yet found herself expecting a child, found herself pregnant. And this was not just this thing happened and we're going to make the most of it. This would bring, in this culture, banishment and shame. She would never be welcome among her people again. It was this embarrassment, but more than that, it was this thought and this idea that she could not be culturally involved with her people. Not only that, we found Mary to be a very honest person, very forthright, very open about her circumstances. She was not trying to hide in shame. She was very much troubled by what the angel told her, but very much accepting of the circumstances at hand. The angel comes and he tells her, "You will have a child." And she says, "I'm not married. This is not possible. I've never been with a man." And he says, "It's going to be the Son of God, and you will be blessed. He will bless the world through you." And the words of Mary are not "give some other way," or can't we disguise this somehow, or shouldn't we keep this a secret or keep this hidden? She simply says, "Let it be as you say. Let it be as you desire." Because for Mary, the circumstances of shame, the circumstances of this cultural banishment, the circumstances that surrounded her were not enough for her to stop loving. This morning, as we look at Mary's overcoming of her circumstances, we're reminded that God Himself loves us to the extent that there is nothing He will not overcome to give us. You know, we have a problem, you and I. We have a separation from our Heavenly Father that we cannot bridge, a gap that is too large for us to cross. And so we see God being up in heaven and us down on earth, God saying, there is a major obstacle that needs to be overcome. I would like to be with my people, but they've run from me. This obstacle would be too large for any of us to overcome, but God says, in my perfect love, there is no barrier, no obstacle, nothing that will keep me from being with my children. It's funny, in the movie Home Alone, I wanted to use this clip. Hannah talked me out of it. But there's a clip where the mother's trying to get back to Chicago, and she's over in another airport. I don't know if she's in New York at this time, or maybe she's still back in Paris. I can't remember. I think she's in the United States, but still quite a distance off. And she's yelling at the person at the counter, and she says, whatever you can do, do it. Then she uses a phrase that I think is interesting. She says, if I have to sell my soul to the devil himself, I'm going to be home for Christmas. Now, rightly so, Hannah said that may not be an appropriate clip to show without some context behind it. But I think those words are interesting. It's as if God looked down and said, if I need to hand my son over to sin itself, if I need to give my son away, so that he can face the devil himself. If Jesus Christ, my one and only son, has to overcome this barrier for you, there is nothing that will keep my love from being shown. This morning, true love overcomes obstacles, overcomes trials, overcomes difficult times. Love overcomes. But also, in its overcoming, that means your second blank, love also endures. It endures. It's not a flash in the pan. It is something that continues on. In spite of obstacles, in spite of hurts, in spite of fears, love continues. You know, there's only one person in all of Scripture that was with Jesus Christ the day he was born all the way through to the day he died. Only one person in Scripture that endured with Christ his entire life, and that is his mother, Mary. The only one who was present with him and endured the pain of labor and was there when he was brought into this world. And he continued to bring Mary along through his ministry. We see her pop up at various places. So as Jesus is attending a wedding, there his mother is. And his mother, being like any good mother does, says, Jesus, we've got a problem, and I'm telling you, you're going to fix it. So Jesus performs his first miracle and turns this water into wine so that the wedding feast can continue. We see that she is there as he's traveling on his ministry path. We see glimpses of her, even in the midst of the disciples and the apostles. We see her following and supporting and loving her son. We see her present in the crowd as Jesus Christ has been arrested and beaten and hung on a cross. We see her standing in front, watching her son die. And we see her agonizingly listen to those words, crucify, crucify. We see the love that Mary had was not one that started and faded, but it was one that was maintained throughout the life of Christ. Church tradition has it that Mary became fairly active in the church ministry once the book of Acts has started. We don't see her through the book of Acts, but we certainly learn about her presence through extra-biblical traditions. That Mary was faithful and she refused to give up. You know, God the Father has a love that is not a flash in the pan. A lot of times we have this emotional experience and we feel like maybe God has moved in our lives, but then time goes by and we find ourselves wondering where God is. Did he leave us? Did he abandon us? Why isn't God present with me now? The truth is, as we get to know the love God has for us, we learn that it is not God who moves from us. He is faithful and he is always present. His love endures from the moment you were thought of all the way to the end of your life. There is nothing he will not overcome, and therefore there is nothing that will keep his love from persevering and enduring. But finally this morning, we see that love also surrenders. It's sacrificial. in nature. It is something that says, I will put your needs over my own. Love says, I will give up my comforts. I will do everything in my power to make you the object of my attention. Great love stories are made up of this concept of a man or a woman sacrificing and surrendering and giving up everything that they have in order to show a devoted love. You know, just the other day, we were watching another movie, the movie Enchanted. It's a Disney movie where a cartoon princess becomes a real princess in New York City. And one of the best songs in that movie is in the middle of the park. She starts singing this song because that's what princesses do, randomly sing. How does she know that you love her? And she's singing to this man. How does she know that you really, truly care? And then she starts listing all of these things that he could do to prove his love to this other woman. And it's this idea that love is not how we feel. Love is not how we receive attention. But love is about what we do to give, what we surrender, and what we sacrifice. True love is about us putting aside our own wants, our own desires, and saying, I'm committed to overcome and endure and ultimately surrender and sacrifice for someone else. And this picture is exactly the picture of perfect love God the Father has for us. He would give up sacrifice. He would make our needs even more important than the needs of His own. Where God says, My Son Jesus Christ will be sacrificed and surrendered for your sake. This morning we like to think of love as a two-way street. You give a little, I give a little. You give a little, I give a little. But the picture we have in Scripture, love is almost unanimously coming from heaven. It's a one-way street where God says, in spite of the fact that you have not loved me, in spite of the fact that you've run from me, in spite of the fact that you don't even acknowledge me, I still show you love by sending my Son in the form of a baby to live on this earth a perfect, sinless life and ultimately die on a cross for your sins. This is a picture of love we cannot find in movies, we cannot find in music, we cannot find in books or other writing. It's a picture of love that we only find in knowing Jesus Christ and God the Father. This morning, I want to let you know that all the songs that we sing, all the songs the choir has led us in, the worship that we have taken part in this morning, it's all for one reason and one purpose. It's acknowledging that God has overcome all obstacles, has endured in His love, and has ultimately paid a sacrificial price for us. And in doing so, the greatest way we can worship Him is by acknowledging the love He has for us, admitting where we have fallen far short, and trusting that He will lead our lives and He will show us how to live. This morning, if you've never discovered the love that God has for you, I want you to know He's waiting for you just to acknowledge His great love. He's waiting for you just to say, I admit that you have something better for me. I need forgiveness for running. And through Jesus Christ, I know you give me forgiveness and a new way of life. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you. I thank you for perfect love. Because, Father, the only love that any of us have in here will fall short. Father, we'll forget important dates. We'll abuse our relationships. There will be times where we will wrong the people we care most about. But, Lord, your love never fails. This morning, I pray as we look at the person of Mary and the love that she had for Christ, let it be a reminder of the love that you, the Father, has for us, your children. Lord, this morning it's important that we recognize that there is nothing you would not do to have a relationship with your children. Lord, I pray this morning for anyone who says, I feel distant or separated from God. Maybe I feel like I'm His child, I've been called His child, but I just feel like my Father is absent. I pray that they would come running back, knowing that you have never left, that you have never moved, and you're waiting for them simply to acknowledge that they've done wrong and to receive your forgiveness. They're waiting for you simply to give instructions that you have a better life for them to live. Lord, I pray that we would experience that true, perfect, and saving love this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As we come to our invitation, I invite you to stand to your feet. And we're going to sing a song of invitation and ask you to pray. Lord, how are you leading me? How are you guiding me to experience and discover your love this morning? Maybe you want to come forward and talk to me about discovering the salvation that we've talked about. Or maybe just where you're at, you need to worship the God saying, I surrender everything I am because you love me. Will you sing this morning?